reach the blank canvas. With ECST.
They know black people are sleeping beasts and they gotta keep us in check, because if we understand the power that we had, we wouldn't be in a situation where we're in, we'll be on top.
You know what we said in earlier episodes about, if you're a woman who is with a man that has power, aka money, if you have enough self-respect, you're not going to put up with that.
Man, it's getting to the point where motherfuckers, you need to go to Vegas, if you have a little hankering for some white meat, and go to the Bunny Ranch. You know, yeah, and just like be anonymous. Pay enough money to, extra to be anonymous, but it won't out your ass.
Because they don't want you to stir the pot. They don't want you to rock the boat. They don't want you to figure out what's wrong. They want to keep the narrative going. As long as we keep, you know, toeing the line and believing that what everything they say is right, we'll never be who we really are. If it weren't for Friday, I don't really know if many people would even pay attention to Faison Love.
Case in point, ST, man. It's a case in point, dude.
And now, ECST.
You would never know if you could ever be. If you never try, you would never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave.
Never leave.
But there were no slaves in our history. Were no slave ships, were no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep, and I had a dream. It was all black, everything.
Thing, nigga. That's my shit. What up, ST? Yeah, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm feeling good, EC. How you feeling, man?
Man, feeling lovely, dog. I remember I was in the gym, I listened to that song, and I forgot about it. I forgot about that song. I was like, man, this song dope as shit.
Yeah, man. People be sleeping on Lupe, man. Like,
really,
it's amazing. We went from Lupe to, you know, to Lil Uzi Vert.
Lil Uzi. Oh, man. So, he's an underrated artist, yeah, man. And I think people kind of just stopped. I don't know if people stopped fucking with him, because I guess he was always a conscious rapper.
He's just too smart for people.
He really is, dog.
Niggas don't want to think no more.
No, come on, man. What's thinking, man? What's reading books?
Yeah, I'm about to say, if you know we don't want to read, you know we don't want to think.
Hell yeah, dude. We want to constantly just party nonstop, dude. That's all we want to do.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a shame that, you know, rappers like Lupe would never really be, you know,
get the proper shine that they get, like.
Yeah, never be appreciated.
Yeah, like the dudes that really should be on top should be people like Lupe, J. Cole. J. Cole don't really get the shine that he should get. Talib Kweli, you know what I'm saying? Mos Def a little bit. You know, those kind of conscious rappers.
I think J. Cole kind of took that role, though. I think he kind of just said, you know what, I'm going to be over here. Because I think he has, you know, he has that ability to, you know, make hits, you know, or whatever, or make songs for the radio. Because, I mean, he even said it in, you know, that Let Nas Down.
Yeah.
That, you know, he pretty much, he sacrificed his art for, you know, for some hits.
Hell yeah, that motherfucker shit, too.
Yeah.
Free my jail clips, insert of Asia being born, same time man was murdered,
the beginning and end.
That was that shit, man. God, man, dog. What was that rap, man? Now we got all this, like, man, making me sound old, but all this, he rock star. let's do some Percocet. I'm like, dude, come on. Hey, man, speaking of, like, you know, dumb shit and shit getting repeated, man, like, I just started back. Not really started back, but I just started recently listening to The Breakfast Club. And I only been listening to The Breakfast Club for like a week and a half. And already, man, this is like Charlamagne and DJ Envy be repeating themselves. I only been listening to them niggas for a week. Like, what's going on, man? I hear a piece of same shit over and over again. Like, how people keep listening to him half of his dialogue is just saying the same shit over and over, talking about niggas from the Bronx and niggas from Florida are crazy, man. Listen to me, man. And then, like, another thing, like, Charlamagne, like, he plays both sides of the fence too much, dude.
Yeah, he does.
But, like, dude, you can't do that shit, man. But I don't know. People just like it because I guess he just starts shit. And he just, like, I guess because he just, I guess, real messy.
Yeah, that's all it really is. He's somewhat controversial, but at the same time, yeah, it's a lot of the stuff is he's a bit messy. He's kind of like what's his name say? Dame Dash called him, Chatty Patty or whatever.
Oh, wait a minute, what did he call? I know Dame called him that to his face when he went up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
what did Charlamagne say?
He was trying to justify it, but you know, he wasn't saying too much back, but
yeah, he like, man, and then you know, probably like when the cameras went off, we're like, man, you know, I gotta do this for my career, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I gotta do this for my career, man. It's like, no, dude, you gotta do all that shit, but
yeah,
it was kind of crazy how he kind of like went at Monique because I watched the video for that for a little bit,
and like, Charlamagne did,
yeah, because he couldn't look her in the eye, dude. Like half the time, he couldn't even look her in the eye. He like looking down to the left. I'm like, all right, don't get scared now. Like, you know, don't get scared now. But I was just thinking, like, man, I was like, imagine need something new. The only reason I really like started listening to the Breakfast Club was because they had Chadwick Boseman on for the Black Panther, yeah. And then I like kept listening. And after a while, I just need something to listen to while I'm just riding around for work or whatever. And I just kept listening. I was just like, man, like this ain't the same shit over and over, man. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah,
I can't do it no more, man. But even the interviews be kind of lackluster because all they be doing is trying to get into people like private lives,
they do.
Like about just like who they fucking and nothing. And then like
yeah.
The artist got to mention like I got a CD out. Like, oh yeah, you got CD out. Yeah, so what's up with that? Like
yeah, they talk about it for like 3 minutes and then they back onto some other stupid shit.
Yeah, on some stupid stuff. Yeah, dude, it's just like let these motherfuckers lose their time.
Yeah,
to push their shit. Cause you know how fucked up the consumers are. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Out here in the social media world, like you catch somebody's attention for like only a second.
Yeah.
And then if you don't constantly put out good shit, the motherfuckers gone, man.
Yeah, man. I started watching the interviews basically because they kept, you know, putting like C+ rappers on there. Like
that's all they probably can get, dude. Cause people tired of that shit, dude.
I was about to say, everybody that, you know, that really means something, they kind of scare them off because they don't do nothing but, you know, get them up there and put them in the hot seat.
Yep.
And, you know, they drive a wedge between them and, you know, and the station. But, you know, that's why everybody be going to Hot 97 or whatever. But
hell yeah. I'm surprised when Nipsey went on that bitch.
Yeah.
But they show respect to that dude because, you know, they ain't... He ain't about that Fugazi shit, so.
Nah.
They definitely. Man, you know what? This is random, but you know a female that started off looking kind of like real rough, and then I guess just her social media presence and then her being in the spotlight kind of made her look somewhat sexy.
Who is that?
Tiana Taylor, dude. Because at first she looked real... She looked real tomboyish, like almost studdish.
Yeah, that was her thing. That was her style back, you know, when she first got into the limelight. Yeah, that was her thing. She was kind of, I mean, even on, I remember she was on MTV's My Super Sweet 16 or something like that.
Yeah, that's how I found out about her. Yeah, because she had like a skateboard party or whatever.
Yeah, so she was even looking a little tomboyish there too, so.
And then I saw her on that what video? It was a Kanye West song. She was like,
yeah, it was on that Pablo CD.
Let me Google that shit really quick.
It was kind of trash. You stupid. You stupid.
Let me see.
I can feel it.
Yeah, Tiana Taylor. Cause I ain't gonna lie, man. I like the way she dressed. I don't know where she carry herself now, man. She looking more lady.
Well, yeah, now because she had an image change.
Yep.
You know, she actually looks. You know, she looks feminine. She looks like a woman.
Yeah, because back in that day, she'll turn you around, but like bend over. I mean, like ah. Yeah, I feel it fading.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit. Yeah, yeah. And somebody got a picture of her talking about here to slay. If y'all don't fucking get rid of that fucking damn term. But yeah, dude, she was, I ain't gonna lie, man. With her little, you know, they squeegee her body with water. And I was like, I'm here for all of this. All of it. hold up. Roll up. But, yeah, dude. She's bad, man. But, man, how was your past weekend?
Man, it was pretty good, man. You know, another chance to re-up, man. Revamp. Get ready for the new week.
Hell yeah, man. That's all you can do, dude. That's all you can do. All you can is just take a deep breath. You know, realize what you got to, you know, tackle this week coming up. Try to spice it up, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, try not make every Monday feel like, oh, it's Monday. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a bad day because of the beginning of the week. And, you know, Tuesday, we almost there. And Wednesday, hump day. You know, try not to make your life so mundane, because that's when it comes to the time where you just get to the point where you look up and be like, man, what's the point of living?
Yep.
Or like, man, that's when depression kind of sets in. That's what I think depression really is, when you get to the point where your life just become so calculated, so structured, so mundane, and you don't mix it up and try to do anything different. You kind of just get to the point where like, man, I'm just like I'm a piece of a cog in a machine, man. And I just, you know, I'm just keep doing the same shit over and over again. Take the same fucking route to work every day. I eat the same fucking meal every day. I don't try different shit when I get off of work. I go straight home. I go straight to my same porn site I go to every day. Go to that same scene. Rub it out. You know what I'm saying? Go to sleep. Wake up. Start over again. You know what I'm saying? I hit somebody. I was talking about somebody when I went on that scene. But no, man. You gotta spice it up. Like, man, like, you know, if you got to be corny, if you really can't afford it, man, go on Groupon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, try to find a cooking class. Like, dudes, like, men, there's nothing wrong with going to a cooking class and learning how to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's not. Like, some women find it extremely sexy if a man knows how to cook, man. So that might be your ticket in. She might be like, oh, this nigga musty as hell, but he know how to cook, though.
You're stupid, man.
I'm about to get this shit up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you mess yourself up and get some pussy. You know what I'm saying? So, like, mix it up, dude. Like, if you go to the same areas all the time, switch it up and go to a different area. Like, just try to find ways to spice up your life. Because doing the same thing over and over again, man, you will get to the point where you look in the mirror and it's like, man, what am I doing? Like, man, it's just no point in this shit anymore.
Yeah, you will come to a crossroads and, you know, kind of, you know, be like, all right, something got to give.
Yeah, something does got to give, man, or... You know what I'm saying? If you like got the same, like mix it up even with like with your cell phone. Mix it up on your cell phone. Like literally, like take your cell phone right now. If you have your iPhone still, take all your apps and delete all your apps and then like rearrange the bitches. Even sometimes that helps out a little bit. Where you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you have to go look for an app or something. Just try to change something up. I'm just trying to, you know, help somebody out that don't want to really make, you know, any kind of changes, because you know, sometimes changes people are afraid of change.
Yeah, they are.
And they are, you know, they're scared of it or whatever. But speaking of change and being scared, man, the Oscars, man. So.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm about to get a lot of flack for this, but I think Get Out only won an award to shut up black people on social media. I think that's the only reason they got Best Original Screenplay.
Well, you kind of alluded to that a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where you said that you felt like if it did win, it would only be because of, you know, that issue.
Yeah, and people are still talking shit, talking about it should have won Best Picture. No, it should have won. It should not have won Best Picture, man. Get Out. If I had to rate that junk on like a scale from 1 to 5, you know, 5 being great, 1 being awful, that shit getting to like a 2.5, 3, man. It wasn't that great. And, you know, and then homeboy, his best friend, everybody bigging up his best friend, like the dude was just like a typical black friend that, you know, just had just crazy conspiracy theories about being around other white people.
Mm.
It's just like, I don't know, man, like, you watched Get Out, didn't you?
Nah, I didn't watch it.
All right, so... So we can't even really talk about it, but...
I mean, yeah, because I mean, it's not. I mean, you're not gonna spoil it for me.
Yeah, because it wasn't really worth seeing, man. It was... I know I'm catching a lot of flack for this, man. My brothers just don't care, because, like, it comes to a point where you can get constructive criticism to stuff that people like, and you're not being called a hater. It just when you're a cup of tea. Yeah. It's just like me saying, look, Beyonce is not she's not a great singer, but she's a great artist. You know, she I don't want to get on that rabbit hole. Let me just let that one go. But, man, Get Out, for what I remember, which is about a black guy dating a white girl going to their family's house for like a weekend getaway. And pretty much what they were doing was taking black people's bodies and putting their brains in them because they pretty much wanted to be younger, be hipper, be cooler. And pretty much they were like, the people that were getting there, they were auctioning out the bodies for the black people that were like almost dead and decrepit anyway. So they just wanted a younger body. And he was just the next one in line. And then at the end, he ends up surviving and killing all the white people. And he survives.
So does the daughter know this too? So she basically
she's setting them up. Yeah, she knows.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I figured it was something like that.
Yeah, man, she knows about it, man. The moral of the story should be: don't you ride no white horse, white horse. Like, what y'all know about that shit? Don't you ride it? But like, dude, I didn't the whole time watching the movie. I was on my phone. I was just like. On my phone, like, on pivotal points, I was watching it. But if I say that, I'm a hater. I didn't get the concept of the movie, or it was too deep for me. Like, no, first of all, no, it was not deep enough for me. I caught everything in the movie. I caught all the subliminal shots that Jordan Peele was doing. I caught everything throughout the movie. Because there was one part of the movie a lot of people didn't catch was when they got pulled over, because they were on the side of the road, because I think they hit a deer or whatever. And the police came up to the black guy, I forgot the nigga name, and came up to her, and the white girl, like, stood in front of him, like, why you need his ID? He didn't commit any crimes, yada, yada, yada. But the real reason that she didn't want the cop to, like, get his ID, because it'd be a paper trail, because she about to kill that nigga. So she really wasn't sticking up for him. She was trying to cover, you know, she wasn't trying to get him ID'd, so if it become lost, they'll know that they were together and link it back to her. But somebody that doesn't see past bullshit, like, oh, she stand up for her man. White people and black people unite. Intersexuality bullshit. Like, man, like, you gotta look past that shit. And I saw that. And I was like, okay, I see what you're doing. And it was like a whole bunch of other things that was going on in the movie that I just don't know, man. I don't know if I'm out of touch or I just expect more out of my movies. Like the last great movie. What's like the last great movie that you've seen? Like, if somebody said, "Hey, ST, I want you to come over. I want you to watch this movie." You'd be like, "Hell yeah, I'm down." And it's a movie you've seen. I can't even.
Man.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know. You might have to ask me again at the end of the show.
Yeah, because I can't even think of like one movie where I could just be like, "Hey, hell yeah, like I come and watch this shit like right now."
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know I could watch. Not saying this is my movie. I could watch Rocky IV a couple times. That was a fucking good ass movie. If he dies, he dies. That shit was good. Rocky IV was good. What other movie would I could just? It's like all the iconic movies that people like just clamor over. I just not a big fan. I was a Star Wars fan when I was young, but now I'm just like, man, like I remember them somewhat, but I wouldn't go back and watch them. And I understand where they are, where they stand in the history of, like, movies.
Yeah, culture. History.
Yeah, cultural history. Like, this is, like, that's pop culture, like, personified. And I understand that. But people make a big deal out of almost everything, man. And that's why I kind of went into Black Panther. I went into Black Panther with no expectations at all.
Yeah.
Some people were hyping that junk up. It was a great movie.
It was.
And I had gripes with the movie, like we talked about last episode. And I'm going to go back over that shit again. But I did have Grace with Black Panther, but I enjoyed it when I watched it. But it's just like, it's kind of sad. Like, as black people, when we get a win, we blow it up more than what it really is. Just because we don't win that much. If you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
like we were saying, you know, we shouldn't treat it like it's reparations. Like, we still got.
Man, like, say that shit again, my nigga. Like, for real, everybody think Black Panther reparations, man. It's not.
Yeah, we still got a long way to go.
It's just kind of sad, like, when, because, you know, shout out to Kobe, you know what I'm saying? He won an Oscar, you know, ST didn't think he deserved it.
I wouldn't say that. I just don't think it's a big deal. Because, I mean, let's be honest, I just don't feel like, you know, besides it being about him,
yeah,
how much work did he really do?
That's why he was up there with the animator. Animator was there, too. And he, yeah, like, he let the animator go first and congratulate, because, like, man, because they won for the animator.
He did all the work.
Yeah, he really did.
The work that matters.
He just did the voice, and he just came with just his life story. Like, man, it's my life story. I dedicated my life to. And that's another thing that people kind of miss about that little short animation film. Like, man, like, if you dedicate yourself and you sacrifice your time for something, it will bear fruit.
Yeah,
in the end. It don't have to be like, you don't have to be an athlete, you don't have to be a rapper. It could be anything. It just shows that he had the talent and he had the drive with the talent. Now, some people have the talent, don't have the drive with it.
Yeah.
And I still think hard work beats out talent any day.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe that. I really believe that phrase. Like, man, hard work always beats out talent.
Yeah, anybody that's successful will say that, too.
Oh, yeah, man. Especially in, like, the world of business. Especially trying to get, like, a business off the ground. Like, the more work you put in, it will show. And if you put in shitty work, it's going to show, too.
Yeah.
But, back to, like, yeah, Kobe Wynn, he said something about, you know, I'm glad that Shepard just dribbled the ball. You know, going back to the reporter from Fox News talking to LeBron, they're still on that, which that was a good little shot at her. But let's give her more publicity. But I guess, man, this is inspiration for our youth, and can be inspiration for just anybody that's a person of color. When you see people win, but it's just, we shouldn't make a big deal out of it. It should just be expected.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's where it kind of gets me. We need to get to a point where we're like, man, we expect excellence. We expect excellence out of ourselves every single day.
Yeah.
And not when, like, we're throwing a bone, we just lose our shit, or we go ape shit.
Yeah, exactly. If we don't win what white people deem as, you know, successful or, you know, the most outstanding thing, don't be all up in arms about it. Like, let's celebrate us regardless.
Yeah, man.
Let's not put so much value in what everybody else thinks that we should.
Yeah, dude. And then speaking of white people, we'll just dead that statement right there, man. You said that very well. We'll dead that right there, man. I was watching the combine, and this shit, like, blowing up all over Twitter. It was like a white defensive back from, I forgot what school he from, I'm gonna look that shit up. But he was running his 40, and once he started running, Deion was like, oh my god, he can run. And then and then Mike Mayock says, what is that supposed to mean? You're like, you know what it's supposed to mean. You know, I can't say a joke on that. He's like, I can't say a joke on national TV, but he can run. You know what I'm saying? Like, the white boy ran like a 4, he ran like a 4.35. And I'm like, that motherfucker was getting out. And then he was like, why are you surprised? I'm like, man, you know why. And I can't say it's on national TV. And I'm like, dude, I lost my mind, man. Deion a damn idiot, dude.
He is.
Deion is a fool, man. But he's like, I gotta go hug this dude. Like, man, like, I'm proud of you.
I mean, he has every right to say that, though.
Yeah, he does, man. Because they're just not normally fast.
We know the stereotype.
Yeah. They're not normally fast. That dude was fast, man. He was like Negro fast. Like, I want to cut his skin. But like, hey, Danielle, give him one of that, nigga. Like, get your ass out of here. But, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another great episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast, our weekly podcast show that comes on every Wednesday. And I do mean that. It's 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on your favorite podcasting services, which is iTunes, AudioMac, Stitcher, CastBox, and YouTube. And you can also follow us on your favorite social media sites, which is Twitter, @BlankCanvasECST, and also on Instagram @BlankCanvasECST, and Facebook as well at that same handle. And without further ado, let's get into the news.
Let's get it.
So, ST and I made a joke about the NFL and not letting Negroes let Negroes fall in line. And if you don't fall in line, you ain't playing for a certain team. And I guess that goes for the Houston Texans, man. So a report came out that Texans won't consider any free agent who kneeled against racism and police brutality because the owner, Bob McNair, does not want players or protesters on his team, man.
Yep, just it's just a reflection of who the owner is. That's all it is.
That's all it is, man. Like, that can't stand, man. And it's crazy how, like, J.J. Watt or Deshaun Watson, nobody on the team has come out and said anything about this dude at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, this isn't the first time he's done or said something that was, you know, borderline out of the way. I mean, that was the reason why the receiver. What's his name?
Denard Hopkins. Oh yeah, much respect to him, dude. Yeah, dude.
So you know, he already decided he wasn't coming to practice. He wasn't gonna show up because of something Bob McNair did.
After the inmates run the asylum phrase.
Yeah, so it's almost as if he hasn't learned to shut up and make his money. Like,
he's just getting bold, man. Like, I'm telling you, Trump is emboldening everybody, man.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Like, who knows how, you know, what the backlash or what the reactions will be after all of this. I don't know. Just about everybody is cool in the NFL. You never know. Those people that decided to stand up for what they believed in, I'm sure they have friends on other teams. And because one of their friends doesn't have the opportunity to get signed and make a living for his family because you have a problem with the way he stood up against what he thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's going to tick off a lot of players.
I know, but I wouldn't sign.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Texans are where they are.
Yeah.
Well, until now, Deshaun, he gonna take them places unless he just decide that, you know, in spite of his owner, to just start dogging it, or unless Bob McNair die then.
yeah. Right when he died, they like the Texans have gone on a 13-game winning streak. after going 0-3, but no. So how the report got out was two NFL agents spoke to the Houston Chronicle saying that the Texans aren't interested in any players who participated in pregame kneel downs against police brutality.
Mm.
So the agents pretty much like outed the owner for this. Like, probably had like two players that wanted to sign there because they are on a come up. Yeah. If Deshaun Watson continues to thrive like he has, because like I'm gonna tell you right now, he's gonna ball out for the first half of the year because NFL teams don't have enough tape on them.
Yeah.
And when that motherfucker was playing, they could put up like 35, 45 points a game.
Yeah,
that
motherfucker was
balling, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think they had enough. They just couldn't scheme for him.
They couldn't scheme for him yet. Yeah, so he's going to ball out for a couple more weeks at the beginning of the season, man. So
I still don't think even after they get enough tape on him, I don't think they're going to be able to, to reel him in, because you see how nimble that nigga is in the pocket.
Yeah, remember Cam first season, he balled out. They figured him out.
But Cam wasn't as nimble as Deshaun.
NFL defenses figure out everybody, man. They figure out everybody. They're gonna figure him out too. He's not gonna be putting these numbers up by the end of the year. They figure every NFL defense will figure niggas out. They figure out what they like to do, what they don't like to do.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, what I mean by being nimble,
mm-hmm,
is that nigga's escapability. Like, Cam can't do that. Cam cannot. He cannot do that in the pocket like that.
Yeah.
He is not as nimble as Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, like, I thought twice that nigga was sacked on one play, and he wiggled out of it. Like, they didn't even touch him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if he could come back from this knee injury.
Yeah.
Like, nothing happened, which is going to be possible because I think it's the first, like, major knee injury. And I think the knee injury that he had was a non-contact injury, this first one. So if he can come back 100% healthy, which is highly possible with modern science technology, he'll be fine. But I just hope he don't start seeing ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he worried about his knee, so we got to wait and see.
Yeah, that mental game when coming back from an injury, that's really important.
That's really important, man. That's more important than him being 100% healthy. He could be 100% healthy, but if he just started seeing motherfuckers rush you that is not there.
Yeah, if he's dead upstairs, it's a wrap.
Hell yeah, man. It's over. That's what happened to what's his name? Shit. The first ever Texans quarterback.
Carr.
Yeah, Carr. That motherfucker started seeing ghosts his like second year because he was getting sacked repeatedly.
Well, I was about to say he was getting tagged.
Yeah, he was getting tagged from the jump. He had no chance from the jump.
I think he broke the record for sacks in the season.
Yeah, because they had a makeshift line. And he never had a chance in hell. He really didn't. He never had a chance in hell, man. But
David Carr, yeah.
But we'll see, man. We'll see if players will sign with the squad.
I mean, they say that junk now, but if they get, you know, I guess somewhat decent free agent out there who, you know, who's really looking to sign somewhere, if they need him bad enough, they'll sign him. I don't know.
Would you sign with the Texans? If you were a free agent and they were the only one to really offer you good money, we keep it real.
If I protested and they allowed me to play, yes, I would. And you know what? I'd do it at the game, too, just to see what they say. And if I was starting, oh, yeah, I'd do it at the game, too.
I'd rather you sign me. If I rather outside that dotted line and then nothing in my contract says I lose money if I kneel, like right as I'm signing, like, you know I'm still kneeling, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would too.
Hey, get my money. Get this money.
Yeah. So come on, honey.
Yeah, dude. You can't sacrifice your morals, man. Even if it is like $45 million or some odd, you know, $45 million, $60 million, dude. You still got to stand on something, dude.
Yeah, man.
If you get bought for that much money, they could buy you when you're poor for like $50, but suck my dick, nigger, and you'd be like, yeah. I need the money. They're like, wait a minute, is that Deshaun Watson, man? You feel a hard time. That nigga suck a dick. Jesus Christ. No, Deshaun. Like, Jesus. Well, yeah, man. It's just like, you can't sacrifice, man, your soul, dude, for money. You really can't.
No, man.
Especially if you know how to invest that shit. And a lot of people that's doing something strange for a little bit of change don't know how to invest money to begin with because that's what they are. They're there for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we'll see how free agency shakes out, cause man, I've been saying this for a long time, man. Most NFL players are coons, so they be like, all right, cool, man. Shit, I was messing my knees up anyway. Man, I was just doing it just because my peers are doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes, dude. But speaking of which, man, like speaking of football, man, Kirk Cousins has narrow his team down to two choices, and it's the Vikings and the Jets.
Mm.
And any smart man would know which team to pick if he wants a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Because one's closer to the Super Bowl than the other. But like ST told me, the Jets will offer him, if I offer him, how much, man? How much they offering Kirk Cousins?
I think it was like a 4-year deal for $65 million, all of it guaranteed.
And then when ST told me that before we started, I said, J-E-T-S, J-J-J. Like, dude, you offered me it all guaranteed? Like, I don't care. I don't care if I never get to the playoff and do anything. I'm already paid.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Yeah.
All right. I just wonder how he how do you eliminate the Broncos, though?
Oh, they kind of falling apart, man. They're about to lose. They're about to lose.
Yeah, that defense. Yeah, yeah.
A key to lead, about to get traded. And I hope we don't go for him because he on this tail end of his career.
He's still a pretty decent corner, though.
He only got like 1-2 years left because the Patriots and the Broncos got the best years out of him.
Hey, it's all it takes is 1 or 2 to get to the Super Bowl.
That's true, but I know for sure we don't need him because at first I was like, man, I want Marcus Peters, but Marcus Peters went to the Rams. But yeah. I was like, man, we just drafted Humphreys, and we ain't about to, you know, bring in a veteran, and we trying to, you know, groom our own. You can tell I'm disgusted because I wanted Marcus Peters so bad, dude. Yeah. I know, like we're going after Landry. Jarvis Landry, so the Ravens and the Bears are going after him. So we'll see where the fuck that goes.
Wait a minute, didn't they franchise him?
Yeah, they franchised him so he can be traded. They was never going to re-sign him. They just make him sign the franchise, so they make him easier to be traded. So he's definitely gone. And it's between the Bears and the Ravens. I would go to the Ravens, a more stable franchise, so we can get rid of Jeremy Maclin with his whack ass. And then get rid of what the fuck is that motherfucker? That small dude name Woodhead. Get rid of Woodhead, Danny Woodhead.
Oh yeah, that's
hell yeah. But I
picked him up.
I don't know, dude. We were grasping for straws. But yeah, man. Also, I forgot, man. Shout out to Shaquille Griffith, man. Yeah. Y'all know who he is, man. Please look him up. You try to be inspired this Wednesday. Please look up Shaquille Griffin. And his brother, and listen to his story, man, because he is such an inspiration to me, man. He balled out at the combine. If you don't know who he is, he's a player from the University of Central Florida. He was born at 4 years old. He lost his left hand because the umbilical cord was wrapped around his hand and, I guess, caught with circulation, so he lost it. And he didn't let that stop him. He went to the combine, did 20 reps of 225. And then you got motherfuckers can't even do 7. Like, this dude did 7 reps. And this dude did 20 reps with a prosthetic fucking arm, dude. Like, when I saw that shit, I got up and I screamed, let's go, like, real loud. People looked at me like I was fucking crazy. And then he ran a 4.38 40 at the combine. Dude, like, if you don't find inspiration in that, man, he only has one hand.
Yeah.
And you know how hard it is for some people that have all their extremities. Yeah. And they might just be a little bit pudgy, and they let people call them fat, and let them fuck them up, and their whole life's fucked up.
Yeah, man. Like, you look at people like that who have, you know, absolutely nothing to lose, no excuses.
He has an excuse that he could lean on, but he says, fuck it, I'm not going to lean on this fucking excuse.
But what I'm saying is he has none. He has none to give, even though he could. It's just... The fact that he's using everything that he has, to make himself a better person. Like, everybody who is considered quote unquote normal should be able to look at somebody like that and really, you know, make the best out of life. Like, really just sit down and figure out what's most important.
Yeah, dude, you gotta think about it, man. He only has one hand, and he's out here fucking damn living his dream. Yeah. And people out here with all their extremities, you know what I'm saying, they can, like, you know, they have common sense, and they could learn or try to get something done, but they just sulking and saying, like, oh, man, like, man, I can't get shit done, and, man, my life over. And this motherfucker out here, like, man, fuck it. Like, what I got to do to get where I need to get? Yeah. And I'm out here getting it, man. You got to respect that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You had to respect it, man, so... Like, shout out to you, Shaquille Griffin, man. If y'all want to be inspired, man, just type his name in on Google and just read his story and just understand, you know, what he's been through and where he's going. And he's getting drafted.
Yeah.
And he's going to ball out. I think he's going to have at least a 7 to 9 year career, dude. And that's way better than the average career for an NFL player. I mean, he's going to ball out, too.
That's decent.
That's a hell of a career. Yeah, man. So, man, shout out. Shout out to Jakeem, man, and like this combine was actually pretty much it was a pretty good story. It was fun to watch the parts I did get to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, because like the Browns have something to think about. Like, man, who they really going to draft? Are they going to spend their first pick on that running back from Penn State?
Yeah, he's going to hate that if he goes there, though.
Yeah, man, but he shouldn't.
That's going to be a waste.
He shouldn't have balled out the combine.
Yeah, it's true.
Ain't no way in hell I pass on that nigga. I want him, and we too far down to get him. He ain't getting past the Giants.
Nah.
They need a running back. They ain't getting past the Giants.
I honestly think the Giants need to pick up a quarterback. They need to. Like, they need to pick up a quarterback.
You serious?
Yes, nigga. Eli's 37. That nigga sucked last year. He sucked. He been sucking for like the past couple years. The nigga sucks. They need a new quarterback.
Nah. These quarterbacks ain't worth it. So, if the Browns draft a quarterback and Saquon's sitting there, you're like, nah, let me go get Josh. Let me get Rosen and let me get Baker Mayfield. I'm like, fuck, I'm getting Saquon and we'll just make this shit work.
Okay, check this out. The Giants are never going to have the number two pick in the NFL draft ever again. No time soon.
Well, if Eli sucks like this, they will.
Yeah. I'm saying, though, with, I guess, a draft class of quarterbacks, I don't think that's going to happen again. So the Giants need to take advantage of the opportunity to draft a quarterback now, somebody that, you know, that at least looks like they might have a pretty decent career, and groom him under Eli. That way, when they finally decide to cut that umbilical cord, they can allow that new quarterback to come in and, you know, because they can find running game anywhere. They can find running game anywhere. I think Saquon,
he's on eight, this nigga's on AP,
Zeke. Yeah, that nigga's real.
Man. You don't pass on a running back like that, because I know running backs are a dime a dozen, but niggas like they can carry your squad when the quarterback lacking.
That's true.
Now, he can make Eli better by opening up these holes and making motherfuckers come down to the box and stop that nigga. Mm-hmm. And this can make Odell way better. I'm just telling you, man, this dude can, like really make Eli last three more years.
I don't know about that, because anytime, like...
Eli anytime. Is garbage, but, man, a running back can save any quarterback, man. Look at Dak this past year without Zeke.
Yeah. But they was also banged up, too, though. Their O-line was trash this year. Man, their O-line Zeke, was banged up.
If I had to pick right now between keeping Zeke and keeping Dak, like, bye, Dak. We'll find somebody to keep this shit rolling, because it seemed like he couldn't hold it together while he was gone.
But again, his line sucked. Yeah. Like, Zeke couldn't even run through that.
They were, last year, they were 6-3 with him. And then, like, what was it, like, 4-4 without him? Like, so, I don't know, man. It's just, like, when you get, like, once in every 4 to 5 year running back like that, like, generational running back, but they come, those kind of running backs will come around that often. I don't know how the Browns passing it. The Browns need to take the nigga at one. And take a quarterback that's left at four. And if there is one. No, it will be there at four. Like, the top quarterbacks are Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, and Josh Allen. And if you don't want to include Lamar Jackson, which is crazy, I think you should. Lamar Jackson, with a little bit of training, could be one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game if you don't get hurt. Good. But he will get smashed because motherfuckers in the NFL are just as fast and they hit like a fucking brick truck. So if you don't get out of bounds, you'll end up like being having an RG3 career. But they'll have a pick of two quarterbacks by the time, like, let's say the Giants are dumb enough to pick a quarterback, or somebody trades up to the second and third spot and pick two quarterbacks. There's still two technically left, or on some people boards, maybe one left.
Because the Giants were saying that they were contemplating trading.
Oh, I forgot Baker Mayfield. So that's five.
But do you really expect Baker to be?
They consider Baker Mayfield to be the one. So,
but hey. Do you though? Does anything about his game say that this dude finna be real in the NFL?
Oh, his bowl game was really good. I'm not gonna lie, he had a really good that semifinal game against Georgia. He played very well. I didn't see many of his games. I saw his highlights. I think it depends. They just the media overhyped him. I need to look at his tape. But I think out of all the quarterbacks, being honest, I think all of them gonna be a bust. Even Lamar, if they don't sit behind somebody.
I don't know about that kid from Wyoming, man. He ain't really played against no.
Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
No niggas from small schools be bane niggas that can fucking ball, man. I put more faith in him than I'll put in Baker Mayfield, and he been playing against top tier talent. Cause that motherfucker's big, like Josh Allen is big.
I don't know. You can't really call Big 12 defense as top tier talent.
It's better than what the Wyoming kid playing against.
Is it?
Yeah, he played against top more pristine talent. But
Big 12 defense is a trash, nigga. Like.
Compared to anyone playing like D2 or like the in Wyoming like D2?
Big 12 defense is all like D2.
No, man. Let me say Wyoming football conference. What conference are them niggas in? France. I know I think it's D2 shit. Yeah, it was a Wyoming.
I think it's
D1. No. They're D1 in the Mountain West Conference. So that's like
it's
D1, yeah. Mountain West Conference consists of Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Nevada. Cali, Nevada, North and South Dakota. Okay, so that's the Midwestern Conference. There ain't nobody in that fucking conference. Yeah, so he has all the tangible, but it don't mean shit either. It's just a lot of people don't know about Carson Wentz, man, until they put him on the whiteboard. So we'll have to see.
That's true.
But out of all the quarterbacks, I know for sure, mark this shit down right fucking now, Sam Darnold will be out the league in 6 years because he'll be out the league in 6 years, man. Name me one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. USC.
Exactly. Yeah. Name me one USC quarterback that's balled out and had a decent career besides Carson Palmer. Name me one.
Yeah, that's true.
And his career was halfway decent. You can't name him.
No.
Every USC quarterback's come out has been fucking garbage. Mike Barkley.
Yep.
Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
Matt Leinart.
Yep.
I can go on, guys. Sam Darnold, you're next. And that motherfucker's a turnover. He's turnover prone. I remember they were putting a whole bunch of faith in him and Josh Rose in the beginning of the season. That motherfucker came out like threw like 5 picks in the second week. That's garbage, dude. Like, man, come on. And they still have him like number one on the boards. I don't fucking understand it, man.
Well, I do.
Yeah, because he's white. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. You're gonna get fucking exposed. Don't worry. I hope they put him in there early, too. I hope they just let him just play first week. You start first week. I'll smile, too. Like, yep, clock's on, bitch. And the clock is on. The heat is on. Well, yeah, dude. Man, but yeah, man, shout out to everybody, man. I'm happy, man, that NFL is back in the limelight with the combine and everybody start talking about free agency soon. Cause man, this you know how this is. This time of season is for sports. It's fucking garbage.
Yeah.
But man, enough of that, man. You got anything else for news?
Nah, man.
Anything else? All right, man. Let's go ahead and get this motherfucking topic.
Let's get it.
All right, ST, man, what we blessing people with this week, man? We hit them with some more, you know, hard-hitting, you know, self-centered, you know, look yourself in the mirror kind of topics. You know what I'm saying? It seems like people are not used to that shit. We have to get used to it.
Yeah.
But what we got, ST?
Well, you know, this week, I guess go into a different little thing to this week, man. Like, you know, we're talking about when you look at yourself, sometimes it's good to encourage yourself to be all that you can be, but at the same time, you don't want to sell yourself a pipe dream. You don't want to give yourself false hope. So that's what we're talking about this week. Stop giving ourselves false hope. And it's kind of like, I guess, you know, an extension of, you know, let's be honest. When you think about, you know, when you do your self-assessment, you know, you're looking at the things that you want to improve about yourself. You know, maybe your goals might be astronomical, but that's, you know, if you sit and think critically about your goals, if you can't really attain those goals, don't give yourself false hope thinking that, you know, out of the blue, you're just going to get whatever's necessary to reach those goals. You got to be real with yourself.
Yeah, I would more say, like, don't be a talker. be a doer. If you want to talk, mm-hmm. if you want to use one of those entrepreneurial phrases that they, you know, that some people have, like I'm a doer, not a talker. Just don't be a talker your whole life. Don't be like, I'm gonna start this business. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna go haul that girl I want to. I'm gonna make more money this year. And then you don't put a plan behind it. You give yourself false hope. And then you gotta kind of look at yourself in the mirror and be like, man, I'm a fucking bum. And it's not because. And after a while, it's just because you're gonna look at yourself and be like, man, I'm nothing but a talker and I don't follow through with my actions. We're just saying, don't give yourself false hope by not following through on what you're doing. Don't like try to speak someone to existence and thinking that you're LeVar Ball, not knowing what LeVar Ball was doing with his sons every fucking day. By the time they were old enough to bounce a fucking dribble a ball, them niggas were dribbling balls were out of the fucking womb. Yeah. Every single day in that little backyard of Chino Hills, shooting like 100 or 200 free throws, or 300 damn threes every single day, not knowing what he had to do to get there. And then there's another thing, man. Let me pull this shit up. Hold on. This is perfect. This is perfect for what I'm talking about. Hopefully I can bring it up. Hopefully it won't take too long. We get the Jeopardy music. Ding, 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 ding. Hurry up, bitch. Hold on. Here it is, so it's this picture, which I really like, and people have seen it a lot, and this goes pointedly with our topic this week. It shows an island that's like very vibrant. It's a picture, and it says success on the island. Then below it is just a cavern, and it's a real low cavern in the ocean, and below it says hard work, persistence, late nights, rejection, sacrifice, discipline, criticism, doubt, failure, and risk. It's everything that you don't see. Mm. And a lot of people don't understand, like, a lot of things that you see, that we said this a lot of times on the show, everything we see on social media, everything we see on TV, everything you see out, when you see somebody successful, you're seeing the end product.
Yeah.
That's all you're seeing. You're seeing the end product.
And seeing that product is like, you know, that's how your false hope is built. Your false hope is built around, you know, fantasies and wishful thinking. Because you see that, you know, that end product. You don't see all of the, you know, things, as EC said, that, you know, are required to gain those things.
So just don't think when you see somebody, especially at the gym. Because I ain't going to lie, when I was a little kid, I thought this when I was like a child. When I saw somebody like a dude that was real built, like, man, I'm going to get there. It's going to take me like a month. And I'm going to be as big as him. And then, like, a month go by, I'm like, man, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Why don't I have, like, you know, big muscles, a six-pack and all that other stuff? Not knowing that shit, it took that motherfucker, like, maybe like 5-6 years to get there if he did this shit naturally. If not, if he did that shit in a year, unnatural, he'd be dead in 3. So, you have to understand, like, if you're watching, like, you're watching your Love & Hip Hop, you're watching, like, your other shows, not knowing everybody like something, like, keeping it real. A lot of people putting up fronts that you see on social media.
Yeah.
But getting back to the person that, you know, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, just don't live your whole life not taking action and not taking stock of what you want to be in life or not taking any chances whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, because I'm going to keep it real. Like, when... Not, you know, not knowing that, you know, it's not really hard. I'm going to keep it real with you. It's not that hard to start, you know, start a podcast. But ST and I were like, man, we just want to start a podcast. We were just like, man, let's just be about it. You know what I'm saying? We got on Amazon and then, like, we bought some faulty ass mics. You know what I'm saying? Them cheap ass mics. You know what I'm saying? We got good with it. And after a while, we ditched the mics, and, you know. And we moved on, but that was like almost like a year or two ago now.
Yeah,
and we 81 shows in deep.
Yeah,
we just didn't sit up there. I was like, yeah, man, we're gonna start a podcast, man, and we're gonna we're gonna get it one day, man. Yeah, but you know, if you wanna, like, that's just something small. I'm not even saying this is something huge. I'm just keeping real with you. It's not anything big, but we did put our words into actions, and we actually did it.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, early on, you know, we didn't expect too much either. Like, we didn't always get what we expected. Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, probably think that, you know, when they do a podcast, they probably think right off the bat they're going to have like 200 or 300 listeners right off the bat.
Have hoes like, asking them like what they live so they can get them some good ass head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I thought that in the beginning. Then, you know, I had to temper my expectations. I'm just joking. Go ahead, SC. I'm just playing.
But yeah, just, you know, like that's the thing, man. Like, you got to know your limitations. You got to know your qualifications. And you got to, you know, expect, you know, moderate to spectacular results.
It just depends, like that old phrase, man, you get what you put in.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And if you put in shit, you'll get back shit. That's just being honest.
Yeah.
Like, if you put in lackluster, you put in, like, lackluster preparation, your result is going to be just like a shitty house with, you're going to be like a little shitty little bird house with, you know, like, it's going to be like sticky glue holding together. It's not going to be anything really holding together like screws like it should be. Like, you yeah. need to follow, you need to try to get a mentor. Even try to do something big or even try to do something small. I think everybody should have a mentor in their life. There's somebody they can look up to, somebody they can go to and like run an idea past them. And the person won't shut them down or shoot them down. Or they'll be real with them and they know you 100% and be like, well, I think you have to put a lot of effort into this because you're kind of lazy. Mm. You're kind of a lazy person. Or I think this would be great for you because you have the drive and the tenacity to do it. You need somebody in your life that's going to just keep it real with you 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And that'll help you not give yourself false hope and actually let yourself accomplish something in life and separate yourself from regular people and great people. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's not much separating regular people from, I guess, people that you see on social media doing great things, like, you know, and have a nice house and a car and supposedly have money. It's pretty much just their drive and their desire and their faith in themselves to accomplish that goal. That's the only thing separating you from them. That's it. It's nothing else.
Yeah.
It's nothing else, man. They're not better than you. They're not like a divine being that only God touched. They said, fuck my situation. I'm going to fix that shit. Yeah. I'm going to stop giving myself false hope and I'm going to follow through with it. And that's what's going to separate the haves from the have-nots, man. Is it somebody that has an idea or is working towards trying to better themselves and actually following through with it? Because knowing the first thing that you do, everything in life is not going to be successful. If that was the case, there would be no, that the word fairy wouldn't be in the fucking dictionary.
Yeah.
It really wouldn't, man. You gotta understand that you're like, we said, man, you're going to fail, man. Another thing, man, like Will Smith, man, if you're not following Will Smith on social media, like all his social media platforms, you need to, because he explained the power of self-discipline and how it could equal out into material items if you want it to be. You need to watch that video.
Mm-hmm.
And just like self-discipline is another thing that a lot of people just do not have. And you can see that, keep it real, and you know what I'm saying, you see somebody that's just a little bit rotund and a little bit overweight, they're not self-disciplined. Because if they really were self-disciplined, they wouldn't be that big. And there's no such thing as, oh man, I'm just big bone. You remember all them old excuses back in the early 2090s?
Yeah.
You were talking about, I got big bones, or I got this thyroid issue, yada, yada, yada. Like, no, man, it's just you lack self-discipline. And, you know, that's a real tough pill to swallow. It really is for a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, it's like, I don't have enough self-control to say no.
Yeah.
And that kind of shit can fuck with you. Being honest, man, and then that's something that you have to just learn and just grow with, man. Like, if you can master self-discipline, you can do anything in this world.
Mm. So, I got a question for you, EC.
Mm-hmm.
So, what if someone, you know, came up to you and said that, you know, false hope is better than no hope at all. What would you say to them?
I would say to them, that's true to a certain extent, because you do need something to, like, okay, now as far as like false hope, as far as like an outside being, or you talking about give yourself false hope?
I just, you know, I guess, you know, yourself, you know.
You're yourself. Just, oh, okay, man.
If they're just saying, you know, false hope is better than no hope at all. All
right. I was telling them, fuck, you know, I was like, man, you being fucking lazy. That's what I was telling them. Like, man, being honest. But, like, if I don't think about, like, you giving, like, hope and, like, false hope and, like, you know, like, fictional superhero and stuff like that. That's really false hope, too.
No.
But, yeah, but, like, you know, like, yeah, false hope within yourself. I'm like, man, that's... Cause all you do is fucking you're a gerbil on a spinning on that one of the little wheels. Mm. All you do is spinning your wheels. That's all you're doing. You're not gonna get nowhere. I'd rather you just be just if you're gonna be a person that you just know. Like, you know what? Sometimes, like, man, back when I was extremely sick, I'm not gonna lie. Back when I was extremely sick, man, I was just laying up on my little hospital bed. I would have like an out of body experience, and I was just looking at myself in the hospital bed, and I was like, man, if I end here now, I'm fucked, because I really didn't get anything done, and it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought about that, man, a lot when I was sick. When I was sick for those months, I was like, man, if I die here, man, I didn't accomplish shit. I didn't do anything. I didn't take any chances. I didn't do anything, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit, it really messed with me, and like a lot of things I was saying when I was sick. You know how people say this stuff when they're sick.
Yeah.
They're about to go, like, man, if I can do this, this shit would be different. Like, man, if you have those thoughts in your head now, you need to get on it. Because we don't know how much time we have.
Mm. So, I got a couple quotes from, like, some different people about false hope. And, see, Bill Mayer, he says, false hope really makes you cynical.
That's true. That is definitely true.
And then Amy Tan, she says, to keep false hopes is to prolong misery.
Yep, you're denying the inevitable just for like a couple of more months or a couple more years.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, and just not knowing another thing, man, like a lot of people don't understand, like I say all the time, is no matter what age you are, you can change the world. Or no matter what age you are, you can start something anew. And you can you can reinvent yourself at any age. That's why I hate when people was like, man, we need to get this to our youths because the adults are already too stuck in their ways they can't change. Anybody can change if they want to.
Yeah.
And I just hate that phrase, man, because it kind of just like, it's just saying just like, man, okay, like if you're this way, if you're like you're 30 or 40, you're fucked. It's like, you can't change. That's it for you. Good luck. You're about to die soon. You can't change the world. All right, man. If you believe that, you're a fucking fool. You fell into the trap. Don't fall into the trap.
Yeah.
And I know, man, some of this shit hard to swallow, man, but we're here to be that. We're here. We're that water to help that shit get down.
Yeah.
To push that shit down your throat, man, so you can look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I want to make a change. I want to be better. I want to be the person that on front of Essence Magazine. I want to be the person on front of Entrepreneur Magazine, being smiling like, man, I made something of myself. Or you could just be like, hey, I want to just be a strong figure in my community. It wouldn't have to be on a large scale.
Yeah.
Don't let society define what success is to you. Define what success is to yourself and go get it.
Yeah.
If it is. Yeah, go ahead.
Gene Brewer says, a false hope gives only false comfort.
Speak on it, man. Jesus Christ. Telling you, man. All right, like they're saying, like, love can't pay the bills, man. False hope can't get you nowhere.
Well,
false hope like having a jetpack full of air.
Hey, false hopes are more dangerous than fears.
Yeah, because it's pretty much like kind of almost, it's kind of like, what am I looking for? It's kind of like, distancing yourself from your fear, or kind of just trying to just tell yourself something just to get you through your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just like, it's not on the same, note of what we're talking about, but just like what DMX said, my ignorance is bliss. Like, man, like sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But you can't sit up there and just let yourself be like, hey, man, I'm going to start this business one day. I'm going to get this shit cracking. And like saying that kind of stuff makes you feel good in that moment.
Yeah, it does.
It makes you feel real good. He's like, man, I'm about to get some shit done.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get
home. You feel great about yourself.
You feel real good about yourself. And then you get home, and it's just like, all right, man, I'm cool. Let me go get, let me go to American Deli and get this number 10. Y'all, if y'all niggas from the A know what number 10 is, that's right. Honey barbecue, nigga, and I get 15. I don't get 10. You know what I mean? With the fries. But, yeah, dude, and you just sit up, chill out, watch Atlanta. Or, you know, watch your favorite show and just go sleep, start your day over again, man. You got to make time for yourself. No matter what it is. It don't have to even be like starting a business or doing something better for yourself. It'll be like just taking that chance. If you think taking a chance is talking to a girl or a guy you think is out of your league, then go do it. You never know what might happen. That person might open up your eyes to want to do more for yourself because they're doing good for themselves. Maybe. you never know, man. Some people have gained inspiration from their mates.
Yeah.
From who they're with, because they're so true. On the ball, they're like, man, I gotta stay on the ball or this motherfucker gonna leave me. And that's just real.
Yeah,
because the person that they're with, they got that lifestyle by hard work, and they're not gonna carry dead weight, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, especially if you're a man, you
that's
never
the vagina good or the dick good.
Well, if you're a man, you never, like most men, don't want to see their women outdo them.
they really don't. That's a male thing. You know?
Yeah, and I don't think that's, you know, maybe not specifically from a financial standpoint, but just, you know, a success standpoint, I guess. And what I mean by success is, you know, having things in order.
Yeah, or being at the top of your field, or, you know, yeah, stuff like that. But I don't know, man. It does fuck with a lot of dudes just because of the society that we live in. Not saying it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Cause like, if you have an argument with your significant other, that shit gonna come up eventually.
Well, that's the thing. That also kind of factors into the type of people that you with.
Yeah, man.
If they gonna rub that in your face, then you don't need to be with them.
No. I mean, that's why I made my money, your ass. Like,
yeah, yeah, bitch. Yeah.
That's one way.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's just like, if you want to hurt, there's two ways in my mind, and two ways in my mind to hurt a man. Talk about his penis.
Yeah,
and talk about how he ain't shit, he a bum, he ain't making no money. If you want to hurt a man, that's the two ways to hurt a man. If he's not confident, you're gonna have any kind of self confidence.
Yeah,
you can tell if a man don't have self confidence at all. You can tell that easy off the grip. If you don't have any self confidence in himself, that's two ways to get at him. Easy. You want to crush a nigga's soul? Those are two things to do to crush a nigga's soul. Like, for females, I don't know what to really say for females. I'm not one.
But I don't know. Like, you could be talking to a dude who's self-confident and, you know, he might not even care that he, you know, he's a bum. He might be proud of the fact that he's a bum. So, really,
and you he's know. He's an idiot.
Yeah. especially, you know, if that nigga packing too, then it's like, all right.
I can dick you down, bitch.
Yeah. I just go find me another hole I can dig down.
Yeah.
You know, and lay on her couch for free.
Hell
you
yeah,
ain't
bitch. Shit. I just didn't get you dick drunk, hoe. Fuck you, bitch. That nigga Safari said the only reason he was around Nicki Minaj is because of sex. That's why she kept him so long. Wow. I would have stayed with her if that's what she said. That's the only reason I'm with you. But he had no other choice because if you left her, he back to just being a basic dude.
I was about to say, that nigga ain't nobody without.
Exactly, man. That's another thing, man.
He wouldn't have been anybody if it weren't for her. So
that's another thing. Ladies, if you have more clout than your man, and you mention that to him, that's another thing you put on the list.
Yeah.
That should have hurt nigga ego, too. Because all men are just egos. It's not just fuck with a dude's ego. If there's any way you can just, like, crush a dude's ego, that's a way to get to a man. And that's not even, like, that's common knowledge.
Yeah.
That's really just common knowledge, man.
Well, Black China doing it right now.
Hell yeah. for her weak head game giving ass. I wouldn't even let her do that shit to me after what I saw. I'd be like, no. Shit, I have a better chance to do it with a regular girl. At least she'll have some energy. That shit was horrible, dude. I know this is like 2 weeks old, y'all, but dog, that I was embarrassed for the dude. The dude was like, yeah, man, come on. Like, yeah. I was like, man, you're already in the act and you don't want her to stop, so, you know, good luck. But yeah. That was bad. that was horrible, dude. But man, you got anything else for the Blake Hammers family?
No, I think that's it, man. Y'all don't give yourself false hope and be pragmatic in your expectations. You know, go out less and get talk, it, man. More action.
Yeah, man. Just be a doer. For now on, yeah. This is what I want y'all to do, man. This is what I want y'all to do. This is y'all homework for next week. I want y'all to not say anything to your significant other, your family, your spouse, or whoever you with about your actions or what you're going to do. Just do it. And then they'll say something about it. Because actions are louder than words. That's an old phrase and it'll always be true to the day we die. Just go do it and see that reaction. And then that might make the girl that you with cream be like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker handling business. You know what I'm saying? Like, women love men to take action. Yeah. They love it because that's boss shit. They're like, yeah, babe, I'm gonna get you something. I'm gonna get you this. Or I'm gonna do this. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get this shit popping. And then all they're gonna do is rub that shit in your face when y'all having an argument. Like, remember that shit you gonna do, nigga? You ain't never did it. And then it's gonna hurt you. They're gonna eat at you because you're like, yeah, I never did do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's better sometimes to keep shit quiet, man, move in silence and get shit done. That's all I got, man.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Once again, man, we appreciate it. Y'all tuning in. We appreciate y'all letting us into your earbuds, your cars, your homes, your jobs. Man, you know, pretty soon it's going to be cookout weather. So hopefully y'all can play us along. You know, when y'all got the grill, you know, fired up and everything. Hit us up on all our social media, man. We need them subs, like, and subscribe, please. Tell us what you love about the show. Tell us what you don't like about the show. Give us suggestions for new shows. Hit us up on all our social media. I think I said that, but I'm going to say it again. Fuck it. Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, Audio Mac, Instagram, or Facebook.
Castbox.
YouTube, hit us up. Ignorance is not a handicap, it's a personal choice. And if there is no light, y'all must be the light, so be the light. Yeah.
So you can give ourselves false hope, man. Go out here and do something, man.
Yeah, let's get it, man. Let's get this money up. Let's get out here and develop some businesses. Let's get our economic basis up. Let's start depending on ourselves for what we need. Stop, running to these big time corporate companies and, making them richer and better, because it's time for us to start taking our economic decisions and, placing our own destiny back in our hands. Cause these folks out here, man. Yeah, these folks out here, man, they don't care about you. They only care about, what you can put in their pocket. So if we stop lacing theirs and start lining ours,
then they'll start caring about we'll start caring about our issues. They will.
Yeah.
They'll start running to the black communities and be like, man, like, what's going on, man? What y'all need help with?
Yeah.
But we still constantly throwing their money. Like, why would they go looking for something when you're already just pretty much fulfilling their needs?
Yeah. Let's start investing back into black business, man. Like, it's time. Like, I bought, not too long ago, I stocked my pantry with wrap snacks, nigga.
A word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Them junks is good. But I've been so, so quick to buy Lay's and Doritos and stuff in the past, man. Like I'm trying to reprogram myself to, you know, think black business.
You got to, man. You got to get that self. You got to get that self hate out first, man. I know it's a hard, another hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, man. It's just like, man, I get rid of that self hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, and no, it's man, time, black is beautiful, man. You gotta look in the mirror like and realize it. And if you don't, man, you gotta look within and just be like, man, why do I hate my own skin? Why don't I want to learn about my own history, man? You gotta look back to that box, that TV in front of you.
Yeah,
it's letting you know that you ain't shit, and knowing you are something, you are somebody.
Yeah,
and you are a powerful human being.
Yeah. Quick disclaimer. We're not saying that, you know, we shouldn't live together. We're not saying that. We're not saying that, sure. You know, black people and white people are stupid.
No, I'm just kidding, man. But
we're not saying the other races that, you know, we're trying to, you know,
separate ourselves, man.
Yeah, we're not trying to separate ourselves. We're not trying to we're not about the division game. We're just trying to give ourselves a better platform so that we can survive like everybody else does.
Yeah, man. That's all. Like, no, man, it's sad that you even have to say that.
Yeah,
because,
I know.
Because like Asian communities have like they have Chinatown, just like up here in Georgia, man. If you go up to Jimmy Carter, man, Beaufort Highway, it's shit up Koreatown.
Yeah.
They help each other out, man. They got Arabs that got their Mexican town down at Beaufort Highway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't we have our own little, you know, our own little black district where we can buy our own things, man? But we're still part of one community. We're still all part of, we're all quote unquote Americans. But it always comes back. You know why? It comes back to, you know why society or white people don't really want us to spend our money with ourselves? Because we're a $1 trillion industry and they don't want to lose any of that fucking money. They don't want to lose none of that money, man. Because if we start investing in black businesses, what is that going to do? That's going to put more money in black people's pockets.
Yeah.
That's going to make us invest more money. It's going to make us richer.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And that's why usually when black businesses get started, they fucking destroy them.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, look up Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, man. Look that shit up. Like I said that shit a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
They don't want to see us have anything. Like, we're not trying to separate ourselves from America, because we can't. It's hard.
Yeah, but it's way too hard.
It's way too hard, but we need to start seeking out black businesses, keeping money in-house before it goes out to everybody else, man, because every other race does it. But if we do it, something wrong about it. That's fucked up, isn't it? If y'all think about it, it's fucked up logic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You really sit back and think about it, it's fucked up. Like, everybody else can do it, but we can't.
Yeah.
Because it's wrong. No, because we have a lot of buying power. Oh God, I'm just so disgusted with this shit, man. I'm so disgusted, dog. Like we got the wool pulled over our eyes, and we like, ooh, it's pissing me off, man. All right, man, let's go, man. If we be here another fucking hour.
All right. Episode number 81. We gonna holler at y'all next week, man. Keep black business alive.
Start getting our false hope, man.
Yeah.
Be doers. All right,
y'all
be
easy. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Black Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week. Ah!